Hi, love.
Hi, sunshine.
Hi, love.
Beautiful to see you.
I know. My gosh, it's been three years, I feel.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Too long. Welcome to the Lift Oneself podcast, Sandra. I am so grateful you're here with me.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Let's take a breath together. Let's close
Absolutely.
our eyes and begin breathing and bringing our attention to our breath and just allowing ourselves to drop into the body and relax while keeping our attention with our breath, watching it go in and out. And I'm going to ask you to bring your awareness to the bottom of your belly and create an intention that you have for this podcast. While still staying with your breath, and when it's ready to release that intention and let it rise up into your system, into your nervous system, going all the way up, passing your lungs, passing your heart, going up into the neck, into the brain, and letting it blossom into the mind. While still staying with your breath, allowing that intention to blossom some more. While it's still staying connected all the way down with its roots in your belly and it embodying all of your cells, while staying with your breath and allowing that intention to blossom some more, allowing your heart to open up and staying with your breath. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. How's your heart doing?
Beautiful question. I would say at the present moment it's feeling lovely and grateful and present.
I want to thank you for accepting to be on the podcast. And I want to warn some of the listeners that, some of our conversation might be a bit triggering for some because Sandra was, go is not was, is going to be as vulnerable as she can be because she's in the process of grief right now. So she's on the other side of love. As both of her parents transitioned not too long ago, yet it might feel like an eternity ago because grief just kind of, you see, time is such an illusion. So I just want to give a warning to listeners that at any time, if you need to pause, just pause and feel whatever you need to feel and then come back to it. Yet this, I know from conversations that I've had with Sandra before that this will be a very opening heart. A very loving conversation, and you will be held very gently with all the feelings that you feel when you are navigating through grief and being on the other side of love. So I want to open up this question to you, Sandra. How would you describe grief in your own words? Actually, you know what? Before I ask that question, I want to bring the presence of your parents into this conversation. Can you share who they are with us?
That's beautiful. Thank you for that honoring. So, and thank you for having me, for the opportunity to bring a voice to many who are in great loss right now with their beloveds. Many are transitioning now to the other side to support us from a different realm. My parents, Marguerite and Kaiser, share one of a kind of a love story. Their story in itself would be a whole nother podcast. But I will tell you, when I was 34, 33, 34, somewhere in my mid-30s, about 16, 17 years ago, I had a deep call. I had taken a sabbatical of my life and was gone for a handful of years, and I was in my singlehood and endeavoring of life. And there was a deep call in me that needed to do a documentary on my parents. I knew that there would come a time that perhaps I wouldn't be able to share the extent of my longevity and my life and my family and all that because I wasn't married and didn't have a daughter at the time. So I felt a need to have something commemorative of their journey that I could share with my own family. And so I put together a documentary over a couple month period, and I laugh in a beautiful way because my dad, of all people, who is a storyteller and historian of his own, always told stories. And I would say, okay, now you have to actually record this. And he was like, what? If you don't know by now our history and our story, forget it. What am I going to do now? And I said, no, I need you to do this one for me. So anyway, long story, he begrudgingly did it. And yet, with the greatest gift one could receive, it was over a 2-month period that I sat with my parents and recorded them, similar to this, but with literal camera. And they told their story. And their story isn't like any story. It's not a traditional love story that you would find in Hollywood, nor would you find in conventional world, but it was a story of their souls. It was a story of their ancestry, of their lineage, of their survivorship, and of many of my family that have survived much pain in our culture and our heritage, from the Armenian heritage. So we had a beautiful conversation, and I had a friend put it together, and I have a full documentary. It's a 45-minute documentary filmed with music and words and conversations. So that was something we did. And I bring that up because you understand from just that story why their souls had to go so close together. So my mom passed first in October of 2022. And within 11 days, my dad followed her. And tremendous losses on every level, to every degree, rocks your world. And thankfully, I will say, because of the journey I have taken, I've been called to, and I have endeavored and endured and been enlightened by, especially of my own parenting journey, as you and I know each other from that. There's a peace. There was kind of almost an instant peace and acceptance. And I'm getting to this as far as the conversation of grief, because I do believe that this process is so different for each person, and rightfully so. So my parents had 54 years of a beautiful life together, and their story is really one for the books. And so I'm grateful I have that documentation. But you're talking about two souls that truly were selfless, loving, giving, nurturing, caretaking, humbled, grateful, blessed, asked for nothing, gave all they could, lived very simply, and just truly wanted our lives to be, you know, received with just peace and prosperity, and the wisdom that both of them shared in their own way. My sister and I are the two other children, and, you know, we couldn't have gotten a better set of earthly parents. I revere in gratitude all the time. I am eternally grateful in this lifetime of all the lifetimes that I picked these two remarkable people. And I recognize everybody has their family of origin here in this earth plane. So I'm sensitive and understanding that we all receive our family to the degree we, you know, have called them in. It's been an absolute pleasure, honor to call them my mom and dad. I am the proud daughter that shares their photos and stories with people. Their legacy and their love and their life deserves that for all that they've contributed and offered. And I have them all over, right? And connected in every way, and talk to them thousands of times a day. And yeah, it's beautiful. So thank you for allowing me that tribute to pay to them.
Thank you for honoring us with the story. I can feel the palpable energy of the silence in between the words that you're saying, of how energetic and how rich and colorful their lives were. That, yes. You can feel it in the vibration, that it's very difficult to articulate in the amount of words, yet you can feel the vibration of the richness and the depths of their journey in these 54 years that they shared in marriage and in their own life. Can you share with us, as I asked the first question, how you would describe grief for you?
Yes. I will tell you, prior to my parents passing, I've never given it much thought. That's maybe a bit naive, and yet truth for myself. I've been blessed to go quite a bit of years up until my 50s without having to really endure grief to the extent that I know many people have had to. So this precipice of awakening on so many levels of healing and becoming on top of, you know, letting go and allowing this healing to happen now in this next phase of my life through grief is another, just it's been another portal, I feel, that I've been called to pass through. And I'm discovering what that is, not just on a physical level of the physical grief of crying and speaking and expressing and emoting, but at a real cellular level and understanding just how profound grief can be imprinted within us. I'm finding grief for me I'm evolving with it. I'm embodying each expression of it. So some days there's a true like emoting and despair. Some days it's a grievance of this awareness that I've come to see that they've lived what they sacrificed and offered and continuously desiring to make them proud, to keep upholding, not by any demands, not by any expectations, not by any pressures of any kind, but just the reverence and the honoring of moving forth in their spirit, in their honor, and then deepening that even more into the ancestral history. And the conversations over and again that my parents have both shared about their history and their life and what they walked through and what they went through. And there, it's been an interesting process, Natalie, because it's like all these conversations flood forth and I start to recall what my mom would say about things or my dad would say about things, or just very like sound, like wise sound bites, like just, you know, just as simple as count your blessings, right? That you hear and you hear and you hear and you go, yeah, yeah, I do. But it takes on a whole new meaning once the physical is dissolved, right? From our family. Mm-hmm. And so the grief for me has been being present with every said, like sentiment or experience that I'm having in that moment, and honoring it and beholding it and nurturing it and loving it, and really not putting one moment of judgment. And I think that's been a big culmination of just healing in general, because for me, grief is another layer of just the healing process. And so it's expressing through even more greatly now physical loss of my family, and yet tapping into this wisdom and this truth and knowing of what I've been given and how I'm now called to grow through this gracefully and with continued just trust. I'm learning, right? I'm learning at this whole new layer of life now. And I will say, I recognize that it's like anything, there's stages and everyone does grieve differently. And I would never speak to somebody and say, well, the way you're grieving is right or wrong, or you have to go through this, and this is the only way you'll get there. A lot of these programs and ways of how we stigmatize or stereotype or classify a topic, I feel, can often keep us stuck, right? Like as if everybody's grief has to look a certain way. there's a very deep compassion that comes with grief. I feel like at the root of it, there's compassion, right? So we can understand it. And if anything, what I'm finding for myself is there's been a greater liberation of my gifts that have come through this. If anything, I have accentuated my connection with my parents on a whole nother level spiritually. And I've been tapping into my mediumship and psychic and intuitive gifts and connecting in with them. And like spirit is opening that portal now on a whole new level that I would guarantee you would not probably have been accessed with the physical, because there's a density there and there's a border, like a barrier sometimes there in that physical. And so I feel like I even have almost not a better, but just like a greater, more expansive connection with my parents, that I can talk with them in a different frequency and vibration. And they connect with me specifically with numbers. So numbers are my thing. It's kind of my pattern of my way of how I weave wisdom and do a lot of, you know, things. And so I know that they've given me that as a, here you go, we're right here. So I circle that back to grief in that I allow the grief to come in different moments. I don't make it come. It comes when it comes. And when I'm in, but there's been a sense of celebration and gratitude in this as well. So it's the both and of all things, I feel, and honoring all in between, like the full spectrum of frustration, anger, pain, despair, greatness, gloriousness, grief, and grace, like everything. And then everything in between that. So it's very abstract. I recognize that, you know, it doesn't fit a mythology of any kind that most people need or want, or they have to check off some. For me, it's being in the flow as the grief finds its way through. And just to close on that, I recently did a couple emotion body code sessions with one of my healer naturopaths, and consecutively the word grief came out. And it's apparent, right? Like, well, it's evidential that that would make sense. And at the same time, a lot of that grief was not my own. It was inherited grief. So I think that there's something to be notated that when we lose the physical of our loved ones and they transfer, you know, into this next realm, our soul healing is all interconnected. So as we continue to heal at a cellular level, their souls are healing equally and ascending higher, and that vibration gets stronger. And then that portal opens and we can connect at a higher frequency with them. And then we continue to heal our earth family here and ancestrally onward for their, you know, or my daughter having her family and whatnot. And so a lot of times what I've been sensing is this overwhelm of grief that we feel. It feels to me that it's not just this grief of this one-time experience of losing like my parents. It's the grief of all history comes up at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a tsunami of clearing. And so much of that is at a subconscious level, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not even aware of it, right? We need to put it somewhere logically to deal with, but at a cellular visceral level, it's a whole nother thing. So yeah. That's how I'm experiencing it. It's the first time I brought a language to it, but I guess that's just what I'm guided to share. So I hope it offers some insight.
It makes sense to me, you know, how I describe it for people, because it's difficult to put language when you're experiencing something. I bring people into, this is the other side of love. This is the side, this is a depth that is never ending, that it can be very overwhelming because it's like, where am I? What is this place? And, you know, nothing, there's no coincidences in life. And you wrote a book called Permission to Feel. Mm-hmm. So you did that work to really understand what feelings are. And you encapsulated all the array, the rainbow of emotions that you're going to feel in grief, and to allow yourself to feel them, not categorize this is okay and that's not okay and this and that. It's like, no, feel it all so it can pass through you so that you can be that vessel of openness and being human, because it's a process and it's not just get over it like people want to think, or that you're not going to feel it anymore. It's like, this is something you're going to carry through your experience. And I really appreciate that you put words to ancestral, because we're nervous systems that are being recreated. And so those nervous systems hold on to charges if we didn't learn how to discharge them from ourselves. So that's right. They just keep charging and charging, and until you allow that opening of discharging and really feeling it, that nervous system is still dysregulated, not able to regulate and, you know, be an open channel. There's still a lot of static into it, how mm-hmm. I describe it. And I really appreciate you are focusing more on the gratitude than the loss. Because what we hear a lot with grief is the loss. I don't have, I don't this, I don't have. And it's like, okay, I honor that. Yet can you also see the end in both of what you did get to experience mm-hmm. and that you still have that experience, that you can tap into it. You didn't lose it. It's you won't be able to create new memories in that physical form, yet you can still tap into that essence of the memories that you do have. And, you know, life is a journey that with grief, there's things that you have to see, that you made choices that you may feel that quote unquote, you regret that you didn't do this or you didn't do that. Yet the whole thing is to be kind with yourself, to recognize at that moment, you didn't see what you know now.
And nor do they. And that's something I will share if I may, because as strong as I'm connecting in and recognizing, you know, kind of this experience on so many levels, I believe that our loved ones, that their souls chose this exact time when that time is, you know, there's divine purpose in knowing, right? Their souls knew they were going to go when they went, and our souls are here now because we know we are to be here, and our souls are going to know when to go when it's our time. And, you know, there's a lot of understanding through the spiritual realm that, you know, death is never like it's, you know, it's ongoing. Like we're always moving and incarnating, and our souls are infinite. So our loved ones see things now so differently from the other side. Like I know in my mom and dad didn't really understand, so to speak, me on an earth plane, right? I was, who are you? What, where did you come from? Whose kid are you? What is all this soul universe stuff you talk about? And I talk with them like every day, and something comes up and I go, ah, you get me now, don't you? I thought so, you know? And so I banter with them, like, and so it liberates that. And I know that they're, you know, I've had readings done as well. Like it's one thing to offer and support people in their path, but I've had mediumship readings done, and I've had my parents come in, and, you know, they get it. Like they're affirming, like, okay, like we see it now, you know, and it's beautiful. And so keeping that hope alive is so important. And it's not to diminish anything if you don't feel that, right? It takes time. Like some people don't connect in with their loved ones right out of the gate because it's still too dense. There's too much there, and it's hard to get through. We're energy, sound, frequency, and vibration. That's it. That's us. That's all we are. We're just called a human being and in a physical body, but everything is communicated from those four things and the quantum itself. So as we start expanding our radar and widening our bandwidth to receive, we can connect in more. And so as we start to release and heal, we're giving them permission to kind of balance that out with us, you know? And so their ascension is going to raise equal to ours. And a lot of times when I'm doing my work, I'll say, mom and dad, like, I'm continuing to pray into your soul healing, to keep ascending, to keep transcending, because that allows me to be ever more present with you and be a channel, be a portal, be a medium, be a conduit, you know, be a vessel to support not just our love and connection, but emanate that into humanity. And I have a huge passion to do that, you know, and I'm in awe. It brings a joy to me. There's almost this, it's a gift that they've left, like an ongoing gift, you know? So yes, I feel like we have to just find our own way. And it may not be for everyone, Natalie, in this lifetime, that maybe their grief is just too heavy to carry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it just, I think we are all in different places on the spectrum of life. And sometimes this grief is just too heavy. My dad in particular lost his brother when my dad was 12 and his brother was 15, and his brother drowned in the Detroit River. And my dad honored him on every level and spoke about him all the time. Like, we knew our Uncle Georgie, like, he was here every day with us. And his heart was so broken. I don't know that my dad ever really could connect in with my Uncle George the way I know I'm connecting with my parents. Now, mm-hmm. I know that they're together having a party right now, you know, mm-hmm. a whole nother story. But in this lifetime, that was very hard for him to understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you explain grief is experienced differently for everybody. And the only reason why I brought forth the appreciation of gratitude, because some people get to experience that, where some people won't experience that. And it feels offensive to them to hear that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's not to diminish anybody's experience, because that's what they are experiencing. And I just want to bring a conversation that with grief, you hear a lot about the loss and the pain and the suffering. And I know there's many people that are, well, I'm actually in gratitude. Like, I feel the emoting and going through that, yet I still have this opening and this gratitude and this joy. Yet my voice isn't really being heard out in these programs or spaces. And then when I want to share that, there's so many that are, you know, in a dense energy that I feel that it's offensive to other people. And it oughtn't be that way. You know, it's an end in both, and being able to share that sacred space everywhere. And that's why I want to have these conversations, so that, you know, grief is experienced differently for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And where you are is perfectly fine. And when you're ready to lean in and reach out or be in a different frequency, then your soul will seek that. You'll magnetize those conversations, or this podcast will find the person in right now in that moment that needs to hear maybe another perspective or another, you know, insight. And it may just be I didn't know I was allowed, right? That can also be just a programming that we have to be in the pain so much, because that's what we've been either told, taught, or conditioned by subconsciously. And so if I look okay when I'm supposed to be grieving, then something might be wrong with me, or someone might think I'm not really grieving. So I think we've classified and constructed too much these modalities, you know, kind of like if somebody gets divorced, you're supposed to be depressed, or if somebody is, you know, happy and healthy, like they're not supposed, they have to dim their light, like don't, because the world's, you know, where they are. It doesn't mean we need to rob ourselves of our authentic expression, right? If anything, it grounds us more in like, oh, I'm allowed to do that and it's fine. And maybe that is going to help somebody, right? Again, give them permission, which is what most people need. And sadly, because we've just been so conditioned that we have to do things a certain way. But whatever it is that liberates that expression and awakens that aha, like, let that be it. That's it. And then find that out for yourself and explore that and celebrate it and honor it. And it's kind of like you asked at the opening question, how is your heart? right? Beautiful question. And what I know at a soul level is, how is my heart now? It's now. Because tomorrow my heart may be in a whole nother different place, Natalie. And everything I'm saying here is going to look contradictory if I'm outside and bawling my eyes out, but that doesn't bring shame to it. It just, and right now, this is where my heart is. Yesterday, it was in a different place. Yeah. 2 days ago, I was a basket case. So it's being present. I think that's the presence of every now feeling in, right? So I'm feeling my parents here. And when we had our double celebration of life for them, my sister and I was, there was really minimal tears for me. I was like, we felt the joy of them there. Like even people came up after, they're like, wow. Like there, it wasn't a depressing service, right? It was an honoring service. And even if we are crying, we're still honoring, but there was an eminence of their souls being so present. And my sister and I were like, in our groove, like, just like if they were right there and we're like, hey, mom and dad, you know, it was a wild, but wowed moment for even myself. Like I didn't even cry really. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm bringing kind of a flavor of, I think, all things. So we get to play in that in any given moment and yeah, honor it, revere it, you know, cry with it, whatever it is we need to do. So I love it. I feel it's a necessity right now because the world, there was a big befall of humanity and more people are going to go through their own in their own way.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were saying that, I think it's also too that people have this image of gratitude that there's no challenges when you have gratitude. There's no expression of being human and having emotions and feeling those emotions. That gratitude is just this kumbaya. Everything is happy, joyful, go lucky. And the, you know, unicorns are shitting rainbow. And it's like, no, there is a part of feeling all your emotions and still having the gratitude of being alive, of your existence. And having this experience, as challenging as it may be, as emoting as it may be, I think sometimes this gratitude has this massive perfection and this really toxic positivity into it, where it's like, no, there's gratitude in the challenges. There's gratitude in feeling human and going through the spectrum of emotions and yeah. Honoring that. Mm-hmm. Having a sacred space for that and still, you know, having the pain and choosing to still open your heart when you're in deep, sad despair. It is so challenging to keep your heart open, to still be in charge of your perception and how you're going to navigate and show up in reality. And, you know, in this new experience, how you're feeling, all those kind of different things that go on. So I think that's, you know, what I wanted to also break this kind of definition that people create for gratitude. And it's like, well, when did you think gratitude wasn't being human and feeling the human experience? And that's going to look messy.
Mm-hmm. It's the access of all. It's like, it's finding that both and in every part of this human and spiritual journey, you know? So a lot of times through my poetry, you know, things come in so fast, so quick, and I'm throwing myself 1,000 notes a day on my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I remember one of the poems I wrote in my book is, you know, there's pain in the purpose, there's burdens in the blessings, there's grief in the gratitude. Like, again, recognizing, you know, there's loss in the love. Like, again, there's that balance spectrum. And as a default of our human journey and so much around us that's affected our, you know, our programming and whatnot, you know, we've leaned so much more into the left side of life, of our left brain only, and the analytical and the strategic and the analyzing and the, you know, everything's got to be a certain, like, it's got to make sense and we got to understand it. And we have completely, again, imbalance, and we need the both and the left and the right to make the whole brain. And the right is where we feel and where we express and where we create and where we, you know, sense. And this is where our intuition, like, this is, you know, it's both sides, you know, there's just been a heavier balance to the left. And again, that duality is what splits everything. It divides everything. It almost siphons us right down the middle. And it's like, I have to be this or this. It's like, no, you can be both. And like, I can be both grateful right now that I have been given this blessed life, you know, and missing my parents deeply, and, you know, grateful for the lessons I learned and those that are still being learned, or, you know, right now that they're still leaving me with to figure out. I'm doing some ancestral cleanup. Thanks, Mom and Dad. It's real, you know, like, and it's not a, I'm not shaming or blaming, or I've accepted that there was only a point that they could go on their journey that their souls were able to reach. And that compassion, again, at the root of all of it, is my compassion grew even before they passed, when I was on this path of continued ascension and spirituality, and they didn't understand it. And what are you talking about? And, oh, you're too deep, and you're this and you're that. And yeah, that's a wounding of like, am I, do you get me? Like, you know, and obviously that's okay, because I accepted that there was a point where they just couldn't receive, and that's fine. So now we get to receive this together. And now that they can help me more from a different realm, I know that they're igniting me, and they're like, we gotcha. Like, now we got you both ways. We got your back and we get you at the same time, you know? So it's like, yes, we're on the same team as we always were, but it just feels more embodied.
Exactly. It's a dialogue. It's a frequency that is so clear that you're not able to put into words. And it's such a quick download that things are said, spoken, felt, and seen, that, you know, it's a second, but it can feel like an hour of a conversation that you just get. And if you're open to it, you have profound connection, because it's, you're not being interfered with the nervous system and bodies. It's just an open channel of communication. I state that to people. I'm like, they may have transitioned, but they're not gone. They're still here, and you can still have conversations. Yeah. Yet you have to understand that if you're too much in fear of that, they don't want to scare you. They don't want to overwhelm your system. So you have to be open to be able to receive that frequency, that conversation. And, you know that, you know, they're still around. You can still have conversations with them.
Yeah. Talk to them all the time. I talk to them all the time, and I'll say, come into my dreams. I'm here. I'm ready. I've been dream logging, you know, and, just speaking into them, you know, Mom and Dad, I love you both so much. I'm wearing a fingerprint of my mom's. We got this through the services. And then my sister has my dad. And then when she and I see each other, we'll rotate. So, you know, I'm always giving it kisses, and I light candles every day. I have my, you know, Jesus candles, and it's right next to their urn. And, you know, I've got, you know, their frame, and it's like a ceremonial thing set up in the house. And I talk to them and say, good morning, and the chimes outside. And when they're chiming, I'll, thanks, Mom and Dad. And, you know, so I get feathers, and I get birds, and, you know, and all these kinds of things. And I'll be like, oh, grandma, grandpa are here. And so my daughter, you know, she's 12, and she's embodying kind of the spirit as well. And she has speaking like just to the touch of grief for kids, because I feel like, again, right, we can help the healing process generationally. So she's going to watch how I move through this as an experience. It doesn't mean she's going to do it ever the same way. I would never want that. I want her to be authentic to herself, but we talk all the time about her grandparents. And, yesterday she just came in the room, and she just goes, she sniffled, and I said, are you okay? And she goes, oh, I'm crying. And I said, okay, what's going on? And she goes, grandma, grandpa. I said, okay, well, what's coming up for you? And she's like, I miss them. I said, okay, I understand that, honey. And there's definitely going to be times, I said, and maybe you can take that as you're crying here, you're feeling them, like they're coming stronger through, like they're reminding you we're here, and they're wanting you. And so, you know, she's like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, it's a knowing, and you have to find that for yourself and lean into that. Like, I can't make you know that. I'm just offering that perspective. I know that when I get emotional, I know the divine's working through me. I know that my parents are right there. Like, that's just how spirit works. So she was started crying, and then she laughed. And then, you know, cause she hasn't mourned like overtly, like she's more inward. And so I just remind her, how's your heart? Same thing. You know, I'll ask, how's your heart? You know, and my mom and dad had this beautiful clock in their home that they had. My mom was given a gift of a friend. And when my daughter was literally born and they were helping watch her while I was working, this clock was on the wall and we would press it. And it's a, like a lullaby clock, and it's gorgeous. And they would dance with her. So we brought that home. And so now that's our commemorative. We'll go, let's play a song for grandma and grandpa. And then we dance, I'll pick up the dog, you know? So again, they desire that, like they want to, they're like, keep me with you, you know? So I love the touch point that you said about letting them know that you're here and you're open, because fear will block that. And it's not about judging yourself if you are in fear or you're in density in those moments. Just hold grace for yourself and just be like, it's heavy right now. And mom and dad, if you can feel me and hear me, know that I'm just, it's heavier right now and I need you more, you know, still speak into them. But be with the feeling that you're with. We don't have to rush it just to connect. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a pressure of, I gotta get through this so I can be with them.
And you're rushing through and not really being there for yourself. And you need to be with yourself to, you know, really be in that process and understand. But a lot of times we want to rush through things and push through, and there's no pushing through things. You have to take your time to go through it, to really embody it, and have that knowing and that wisdom. You mentioned that with this grief, it has heightened your gifts and given it more depth. Can you let the listeners know about Human Design and what you offer as a service and what your gifts are? And be mindful that some listeners may have no idea what we're talking about.
That's part two. We'll just come back for part two. Yeah. You're so sweet. So I would say in short, I never realized, like most people, I think we're all kind of asleep to our gifts just because, again, conditioning does that and blocks us out of many things. Really, my first set of gifts came through that I became aware of was my writing. I never really knew I even had a gift of writing. I loved language and words, and I was accelerated in English early on in life, but that was about it. I didn't study anything profound. It was through my parenting journey that my healing journey, my cathartic healing, poetry became the vessel for me to heal. And so it became like a language of my soul to express. And it was very storytelling. And I get it from my dad, right? So he's the storyteller. And I understand from an ancestor family that we're close with, she said that it actually goes back to some great, great grandparents and so on. So it's very intriguing to kind of realize that. So poetry became the first awakening to my, oh, wow. And I didn't know, I didn't call it anything, Natalie. I just was like, this is my healing. And I didn't call it channeling. I didn't know anything about higher self. I didn't. It was just my pain portal I was going through, and it was my salvation, if you will. So that, you know, all the stuff came out of me. And so interestingly, right? So how the universe and spirit and source will all kind of align the pieces. That was happening about 2016-17. And then 2018. So then I published my book in 19, but in 2018, Human Design came into my atmosphere, no coincidences. And it's a divination system. I don't even like that word system. So I often say like a divination gift or a wisdom gift, because I think system holds a density. And anyway, I'll leave that for another talk, but it's a divination gift, I feel. And it came into my auric field in 2018. So right at about the time I was transitioning through these writings. And as I was learning about my human design, it was very evident. You know, you're natural at this, like, this is your gift. And it was like, oh, so very cool to kind of see this. So human design is, it's an imprinting. It's kind of a mapping of your soul, right? To guide you into your gifts and your strengths and to see where your shadows are and all these kinds of things. And it's an integration of a lot of things. It's astrology, chakra system, the Chinese I Ching, the human genetic codon, the neutrino streams, and the tree of life. So there's like six elements that make up human design. And so it gives us kind of a mapping of our energies, of our frequencies, of the day we were born. And even, I think it's 3 months prior, our soul imprinting. So this became kind of an, oh my goodness, like this was a heavenly sent gift. And I just threw myself into this because I've always been a seeker and a quester, and learning my who I am has been one of the greatest things I've been endeavored to do in this life. I would say my offering really is to work with people that are ready, open, and really inspired to want to delve into their journey and access their soul jewels and be inspired by who they are and learn how to use that to their highest frequency, and also to embrace those shadows and areas where we're here to grow through, because I'm growing through it every day. And so as long as you're guiding people from that place of humility, which I think is a necessity as a leader, as somebody who has passion to heal and help and support humanity, I feel like there's such great support in that coming together with others, because again, it goes back to empowering yourself through this and being your own authority. And that's what a lot of this teaches us, is how to remember who we are, be our own authority, stand in our power and truth. And I have great passion and joy in helping to liberate and enlighten people. And what they do with it after is obviously their choice. If I could be a spark of that for a moment that gives them something, just like you're doing with these conversations, it just, you know, lights up something new and fresh, then the journey's been, you know, taken. Yeah. So I'm a little bit everywhere, but that's who I am. And I've come to know, love, and embrace it and liberate people in who they are too.
Love it. Thank you. I want to bring you into a reflective question. Okay. I'm going to ask you to take your awareness right now and bring it back to your 18-year-old self. And you have 3 words you can tell your 18-year-old self to carry you through the journey. What would those 3 words be?
Trust yourself. So all things trust the process, trust your faith, trust knowing, trust yourself, trust source. Be true, keep being true to you, stay in your authenticity, stay in your heart, embrace your uniqueness, and allow yourself to be in the flow of life as life teaches you, guides you, and offers you these gifts for your evolution and your, you know, highest, truest, best becoming.
So trust, truth, true. And would you say surrender or flow, or
probably acceptance? Surrender and flow. Yeah. Surrender, flow. Those are main pain points in my own path.
Your face lit up when you were reflecting on that last one.
Yes, that's the core wound in my gene keys, actually. And so again, being in the presence of this heart space, as I'm conveying, it's not a thinking, it's a, look at me snapping my fingers, but it's feeling into this. It's really, you know, you talk about reflecting, and I think that that's what that is. It's reflecting, you know, from 18 to 51, like the journey taken, and what are some of those nuggets that you can take away? And so letting go. I say often when I'm speaking to spirit, which is all the time, you know, I trust and surrender. I release and receive. I let go and let flow and grow. And like, and there's days I say it and I'm not in it. I just say it, you know, and I'm aware of it. I'm like, I know I said it and I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm going to say it again. And I just have to be honoring of that. Like, I'm not trying to be perfect here with myself. You know, I'm just like, yep, keep saying it, Sandra. Just keep saying it, right? It's okay. You'll get it eventually. And that's part of the self-guidance inside and being your own parent and things I would tell my daughter, like, go easy on yourself. Don't sabotage yourself. Like, love yourself. Same thing I have to say to myself. There's still a lot of unknowns to come.
There is. That's the intrigue. And that's what keeps us going in the journey of life. Even though sometimes there's a hesitation because there's been so much pain experienced, yet it's also remembering how much joy and how much excitement there has been, and to really dwell in the two and the three and the four and the, you know, totality of what life is. Yet uncertainty can be very overwhelming in your system, because uncertainty means that there will be some pain, and, you know, no one really likes pain. Yet when you understand the benefits of pain, then you can embrace it and not really dwell so much into the suffering, which is difficult.
Everything you just said feels so full circle to grief and gratitude. I feel like everything you just said, because we weren't talking about loss and grief, but everything you just said, because in that we're losing something. It's uncertain. It's unknowing, right? There's fear. There's pain. We're not believing, because the physical of something is gone. The comfort of something is gone, right? Whatever that knowing was is gone. So grief, it's like the roots of grief. It's like, it's in all things life, right? Like, we grieve when we divorce. We grieve when we are moving homes. We grieve when we are letting go of a house, or I just said moving homes, but, you know, grieving. So I just feel like, what a beautiful way to kind of like summarize this whole conversation, because I know where I'm moving in my path right now, there's more loss coming. Mm-hmm. There's more deeper uncertainties. I'm unearthed. I'm completely unearthed. Like, the pillars of my life are all rocky right now. So everything is shaken up. So I have to take this experience with my parents as a point of growth and evolution to support me in these next unknowings. And if I can get through this, I can get through this. And that's how I have to take these breaths, Natalie, because otherwise it is overwhelming. And there, I don't care how much we might know or feel or sense or intuit or be connected into, we're still physically feeling this at a visceral level, back to your nervous system conversation. And that's real. That's really powerful when we're distorted there. And I'm even looking at doing like some somatic healing right now, because it's like, even at a cellular level, like really embracing my body. And I struggle being in my body right now. Like, honestly, as my body is ascending, as the density is lifting, as the feelings are being felt and the grief is being, you know, just grounding and I'm anchoring into things, it's like, I'm becoming lighter, but then it's almost becoming untethering that much more to be in this body. And so I'm feeling the overwhelm. So I know that there's cycles coming, right? It's scary as you know what, like, mm-hmm. like truly. And that's where like I'm at. And so I know like my parents are going to continue to guide me. I know that in order to get to that part now, they have to be on the other side to help me. Mm-hmm. And I take comfort in that, even in, you know, wishing I could sit and talk to them physically. Mm-hmm. I still do talk to them very spiritually.
Yeah.
But thank you for that illumination. I had to say that. I just feel like I was listening to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's this whole conversation. It just felt so natural.
What would you like to leave the listeners, and especially the listeners that are going through grief or will be experiencing grief?
I would say, hold your heart with as much grace, tenderness, and love and compassion. Be present to all that you feel on every level, in every way. Ask for help and support. Give yourself permission to feel, to heal, to be. And as you can, find the places to commemorate and connect in with that loss, however it's showing up in your life. And I feel like really the greatest thing we're all being asked in this lifetime is to learn how to let go and detach and be part of this journey, that this is only going to take us into this next becoming, whatever that incarnation is at whatever time in our life. So extract the jewels and honor yourself and love yourself through it. Really love yourself through it and deepen your self-love and self-compassion more now than ever, because that's how we're going to heal collectively.
Mm-hmm. Where can the listeners find you?
A couple places. You can go to sandrafazio.com and there's a place just to email me there, or you can do sandra@sandrafazio.com. I have an Instagram page called The Cosmic Sage. I think it's the.cosmic.sage. And my Facebook page is a personal page right now. I'm hoping to build more of a page. My name's Sandra Fazio. And I do have The Cosmic Sage on Facebook as well. I just started it. So these are just some touch points right now, but I would love to hear from you, share any of your stories or anything that resonated, or if there's anything I can do to support further. Know that you're loved, seen, held, and greatly appreciated for taking this journey. Pretty interesting times to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your vulnerability, your eloquent language of love that you use, and sharing, you know, the rawness of what you're experiencing right now. I really appreciate this conversation and our sharing of hearts. I really am grateful for you in my presence, Sandra.
Well, it's an honor, pleasure, and just true, you know, pleasure to be with you as always. And so grateful. Thank you for thinking of me to share here, and to all your listeners for being a part of this conversation. Mwah.
Mwah. Remember to be kind to yourself. Thank you for making it all the way to the end. I appreciate you and your time. If you found anything of value in this conversation, please share out the podcast, share it through your emails, social media, and also please like and subscribe so that we can grow the community and expand the dialogue. Until next time, remember, be kind and playful with yourself.